This is Disabled Girls Who Lift. We are reclaiming what's rightfully ours one podcast at a time. It's Mary Beth, Chloe, and Marcia bringing you the thoughts and unpopular topics to get you out of that ableist comfort zone. Welcome back to another episode of Disabled Girls Who Lift. As always, thank you for your support, your comments, your love, your Patreon submissions, dropping things in our tip jar, buying our stickers, all that good stuff. This is Marcia. I'm sitting on Seminole Tribe land in Florida, and our lovely co-host is going to introduce herself.
This is Mary Beth sitting on Ohlone land in Northern California.
Fantastic. We have no guests, just us for a little quickie episode. We're talking self-care, we're talking mental health, which is physical health, which is mental health, and we're talking boundaries, since the world is kind of a dumpster fire. And personally, as individuals, many of us, and by us I mean me, are going through it right now. So how do we still exist as disabled girls and lift when we're going the fuck through it?
And not even recognizing that people are going through it. Yeah. I like to assume that everyone's going through it in their own dumpster fire of a house or a school or a job, you know?
At this point in the world, I assume everybody is going through something for sure.
I think that's the best way to live though, because you're empathetic to everyone else's time and space and responses if they give you a shitty response, you know. It's like, oh, you're going
you're going through it. Me too. It's fine. You don't got it, boss. I think there's that book people always talk about, Four Agreements, and I've literally never read it, but I know about the one that's like, don't take things personally. But I feel like instead of saying don't take things personally, it's like assume everyone is in a dumpster fire. I feel like that's like a different frame.
Yeah.
Like, instead of being like, oh, it's not about you, like, well, it's not, but also
like, oh, damn,
they're going through it. Yeah.
But it's so true, though. Like, in even if it's like a small, that because that's the thing, we tend to like compare, right?
Yeah.
Who has it harder in life?
Misery Olympics, oppression Olympics.
Which in many ways is true. We got white people problems, we got brown people problems, but right. At the end of the day, like, everyone still has a mental health, you know, that they need to take care of.
Yeah.
And issues that they're going through that we just never know about.
That's true. I mean, you know, I'm not in Pakistan with like my house flooded or Fort Myers that just got wrecked, right? Or like all these places that don't even have clean water. Like, I can survive. I'm surviving. I'm not worried about my immediate survival. But I'm also not going to be fucking sad and be like, well, those people have it worse. That doesn't help me.
Yeah.
That don't help me.
Yeah. And I think a recent conversation I just had was like realizing that you can't fix everything in the world, like not just in your own circle or your own life, but say, you know, all the things that are happening fucking in Florida, in Iran, in like all these different places, like we're doing what we can in our immediate circle and what we can handle in our bandwidth, but like we can't fix and solve everything because then we take on all of that anxiety and pressure and, you know.
That's true. I think that counts as a boundary, right? What you hold yourself responsible for, because that is true. You could feel like really dumb, like you're over here worried about some stupid little task at work and a deadline and like, you know, and then you see the little post for mutual aid and then you like send yourself down a spiral of doom scrolling, but that didn't help anybody. It definitely didn't help you in the moment. Well, so what's the point of doing it? It's easier said than done, because I do it all the time, but
yeah. And I think that's very different from not caring at all. is what I'm trying to say. Like, there's yeah. there are people who don't give a shit and they're like, oh well, they deserved it. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I have my opinions.
Right.
Versus someone who's trying to fix and solve the world and they have no control over it. Yeah. That's
yeah. No, we I can't.
That's yeah. That's a good way to frame a boundary.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm gonna control the things that I can control. And it's okay to stop following a page or like mute a word if it's too much. Like, I do that. That's what I love about Twitter. I wish the other ones had that feature so you could mute a word so it won't show up. You know, there are some things that were like too much for me. Like right now, I was looking at some of the Dahmer stuff and like whatever, reading it, and then I got to a point where I was like, I can't handle this anymore, and I muted the word.
You muted Dahmer? Good for you.
Yeah, because wow. the points that were being made were like very valid and scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were saying that, like, the fact that white women and white people, but it's like a lot of white women mostly on TikTok mm-hmm. right now, like young white girls, like romanticizing him, but the fact that they like get off on this trauma porn of mostly black people is like modern day lynching.
Yeah,
because that's what their grandparents did. They took their kids, like, oh, let's go watch this guy get hung, and like they marched together like it was a picnic, like it was an outing, it was something to watch.
Mm-hmm. And they don't recognize it in the forefront, but you know there's a little thing in their hypothalamus that's like, oh yeah,
look at this person's, and it's not even look at this person suffering, because it's not, you don't even see that as a human. Like mm-hmm. that part is detached. So I had to mute that word after a while. I was like, these are great points and thanks for the thinking, but I'm done here.
Yeah.
This is too much for me. This is too much. Can't handle it.
And I hate that a lot of people can't separate Hollywood from real life events that happen. And it's still so fresh in a lot of
to real people. Lives. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, people are over here talking about the acting and the writing and how it was just such a great series. And, you know, I watched the whole thing. And I watch a lot of, you know, not, I wouldn't say true crime, but a lot of just like very dramatic series. And yeah. From someone who like recognized racial issue and the LGBT issue
yeah
like from the get-go, like that's something that you can't not focus on, but everybody else like chose to ignore that, like, and you feel that in reality, like police force, you know,
yeah, all these trans exclusionary rules and shit, like the people are living that,
yeah, that's yeah. fucked up. But what everybody else was focusing on was the Hollywood aspect. Like, I even sent you the article about how there was a lot of disability.
Yeah, like that person didn't even mention. They're like, wow, look at this movie and the representation. Yeah, but like, what was the movie about again? I mean, the show, like what? Mm-hmm. What was yeah. discussed? You want to get into that maybe?
Like, okay, we can recognize and we can normalize disability representation in movies, but that was not the focal point. You know, like it's ugh. Like, I'm not going to congratulate the writer or the producer for
yeah.
representing us. Like, you, everybody should be doing that, period. But that wasn't the point.
Yeah, we're missing the point. And there's people out yeah. there like, oh, you can't get mad at these people for doing their jobs. Like, yeah, we're not mad at the fucking sound mixer, dude. Like, we're mad at the people that wrote it, the people that plan to dramatize real traumatic events. Like, it's not yeah. a documentary. Like,
yeah,
you didn't have to do a reenactment. Because I'm this is the funny thing, is like I realize now about this like true crime girly thing that's going around.
Yeah.
And I grew up, like, me and my family, we watched Law and Order, we watched fucking Investigation Discovery, the channel, like the cold case, the mm-hmm. all of that. Because the forensics and whatever the crime, they get into that. But then I didn't realize like how many people out there are just listening to people telling these stories in like really weird ways, like this Dahmer way.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that. That's fucking weird, dude.
Yeah, and the perspectives that they're telling the story from, too, obviously is very problematic. It's always about the killer. It's always in their perspective. And, like, we always, like, remember their name, right? But never the victims. Never the victims.
It's weird. And it's not even like, oh, this is science and forensics and, like, crime scene pictures. It's like, yeah, and then so-and-so brutally murdered so-and-so. Anyways, this bit is sponsored by, like, what the fuck? What are we doing here? This is a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with all that said, I'm glad you found a way to mute that word. Holy crap, you can't do that on Instagram?
Not really. You can do hidden words or so that people can't comment them.
Yeah.
Okay. They could still message it to you. It just goes into hidden messages, which is stupid because it's still there. You still get a notification for it.
Oh.
I don't understand. I guess it's just like preparing you that you might see something you might not want to see. I don't know.
And so if somebody tries to comment using those hidden words, like, it'll just get deleted into the abyss, right? Like,
yeah, it will never exist. Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's good to know. Yeah, add that to my list.
We have a lot of them on our account for the spammers.
Oh my god.
Dr. Fofo helped me with his herbal supplement. Like, all them words are banned.
How do we add that to our Facebook page too, to all these men, like, getting into our DM saying, hey,
okay, yeah,
you?
I can't believe that is still happening.
It's happening all the time.
I can't believe that's still happening. Literally just a dude like, hey, I'm looking for a wife, a disabled wife.
Yeah,
anybody, I'll shower you, you could be my queen. What the fuck? First of all, are you even paying attention to this page? You just look type disabled and, like, send a mass message. What are you, who told you this was a dating service? For fucking what's the word Eva told us forever ago? Devotees.
Oh god,
very strange. Oh, god. Vibes. You know, yep. What we should start doing, though, we should start sending our Cash App. Just we should reply. Yeah, man. True thing. Buy me dinner tonight. Let's talk.
Oh no.
Why not? So we'll see if they're about it.
Are you real? Are you real? You're like, no, send me your direct deposit information and your social security.
Yeah, so I know it's real. Send me a copy of your credit report. Let's go. That shit is fucking weird. But yeah, so what do you actually do besides my example of muting words or closing things? What do you actually do when you're tired of hearing about the world's dumpster fires?
Yeah,
what are your
I mean, and it's not that I'm tired of hearing about the world's dumpster fires. It's that, yeah, it can be overwhelming, and
yeah,
and that is a very big way for me to, like, I like to keep stay up to date on news, especially, like, international news recently, because of the imports that I'm doing. Like, there's crazy shit happening all over the place, you know. There's still, like, a big war, potentially a freaking nuclear war, apparently, that's about to happen, you know. Like, these are kind of things that we should be paying attention to, but on a daily basis, 24/7. Like, it's been so normal for me to just put my phone down and focus on all the shit that I need to do, like, in my life, for my dogs, for my house, for my, you know, I couldn't do that years ago. I don't know why. I don't know if it was because of, like, how much social media had this, like, power over me.
Right.
But you know how you can, like, kind of control the algorithm?
Yeah,
my algorithm right now is all plants and shit, plants and food, which is great because I can get, like, real world news from real articles and real videos.
Yeah, but that's the difference too. I think that's the difference for me, is, like, my personal Instagram, I started taking off a lot of things and trying to separate things, like, Move with Marcy is Move with Marcy, but my personal Instagram is food, fun. If I want to read the news, I'm gonna go to the news and not the dramatized version that somebody shares, right?
Yeah, and all these like fake articles. There's just way too many fake articles.
Or just the takes that don't even make sense. Like,
Like, social media can hype something up in a minute and it reaches like the whole country, you know, and it's completely wrong.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. You know what you just reminded me of? Somebody showed me something where it was like, oh, and I forgot what state. They were like, oh, this senator's making the purge legal. Look at this. And it's like a popular page. It's like the Shade Room or like a big page like that, like a black run, like millions of followers or whatever the number is, tons of engagement, sharing it and saying that it's the purge. And I go and I'm like, first of all, what the fuck? So then I go and I Googled it. And I found like a real news article, and it was like a senator or whatever person of power was making a rule to end the like cash bail bond system.
What the hell? How does that mean? How does that translate into you could do whatever you want for 24 hours and you won't get any penalties?
Yeah. And it's like, okay, you guys are the blacks that this affects. Okay. How are you getting this story wrong? Like, you are the very people that are getting arrested more and set up in like these cash bond systems, which if you don't know about, it's a fucking scam. Like, you could literally be in debt trying to get a bail bond and all that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is your community being affected by it. And somehow you ran with the purge is happening. hello. I think you're right. Definitely is like curating the algorithm, or even just designate, like, my Instagram is my fun place and there's still some serious things that might be on there, but it's the level that I can tolerate.
Yeah
Like, Twitter is like, I have to know when I cannot open Twitter.
Twitter's a lot at once, and it's fast. Like, that's fast news.
Yeah,
you know? A lot of it's celebrity, and you know, that's fine because everybody has like a platform, not just rich.
Yeah, everybody's on there. Yeah.
But I'm recognizing too, like, I know you posted something about how like TikTok is providing that real platform for everyone, and like you get a lot more followers, views as compared to Instagram, who has that algorithm.
Right.
But also, like, because of that power that TikTokers have, they can create this like hype, this fake realism, feed it to their work, to the world and their followers, or just like it'll just get popular somehow.
Yeah, you just be a regular person in your car with a hot take and fucking it's everywhere.
And there's this cycle of like, oh, I saw this one TikTok, so it must be true. And then, oh my god, that's what I can't get out of.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Like, yeah.
TikTok is dangerous.
There's a whole bunch of
TikTok is very dangerous. Very dangerous in the same realm as Twitter, but just like somehow just different. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah. So when I use my TikTok, I do not explore. I do not venture. I do not. I don't click on hashtags. I don't click on For You page.
You don't explore?
That's nope. I do not. I go to the people that I follow that I know are safe, and I look at their page. That is it. I follow like 60 people. Like, that's it, dude. I don't fuck around on that platform because it gets weird fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's real international, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not banned in a million different countries the way that Instagram and Facebook is.
Yeah. And the way that their algorithm is so niche and so specific. So, like, you might not even be thinking about, like, you might open your phone now and get something about Dahmer that was from 2 months ago. So it's not even like a timing thing, like, oh, that post passed, it's over now. Like their algorithms, like, you're interested in this, we'll find you some.
Yeah. And it could be from 2 years ago.
Yeah, we'll find you something.
I kind of like that, you know. I like the algorithm. I'm just
it's great.
The content that's being put out there is
dangerous.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's like the new Wikipedia.
Yes, that's what it is. That's what it is. It's like
everybody can contribute, but it's not necessarily all true.
That's what it is. For me, the part that is, so this isn't like, this is still dumpster fire category to me, but this is more like cultural shit, not like flooding and the climate change and like people dying and starving. It's more like culture vultures, appropriation. And that's where it gets dangerous for me. Because once I start seeing that, I just get like, I have a visceral reaction. Like I'm literally like sitting in a room by myself, pissed off. And like, that's not healthy. So once I see the fucking white girl making skin boosting tacos and like spa water. Like,
skin boosting like, tacos? Did you just say tacos?
It's literally an authentic Mexican taco, how they fucking make it. They don't make it with cheese and sauce on it.
Why is it skin boosting?
Because like that was her idea. She thought of it. Why not just make tacos with meat and vegetables? Healthy vegetables. Mm. You mean the way tacos are meant to be made?
Like the way that they are talking about spa water, the new spa water on TikTok, but it's actually just agua. Like
agua fresca. That it gets me. Ooh, my lights flickered again. Are we good? Okay, we're good. Yeah, it gets me to 0 to 100 really quick. So that is the boundary that I set for myself. I don't explore on TikTok.
Yeah. Which, by the way, wait. We're in the middle. You in Florida are in the middle of a storm right now, by the way.
I took a break after Ian, but I guess I should have kept watching because some shit's happening right now.
Like
out of nowhere,
thunder and lightning and your lights flickering.
My lights are flickering. I am in middle of a storm. Yes, whatever.
Oh my god.
Aww. It is what it is. So yeah, social media can definitely be a great but here's the thing though, on the flip side, social media is like self-care for me because I'm like, I might not have five people in a room with me to be like, yeah, that was fucked up. Or like, yeah, I'd love that show too, right?
You so, have an audience.
On the flip side, right? I could send somebody a meme and we could just react, laugh, not even say words, but like, that feels good. Like, ooh.
Yeah. You're just giggling on your bed.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's not all bad. You just need to know when you need to present that boundary for yourself. So what else are you doing for like self-care? Reading a good amount.
Reading a book. I've been trying to, because I realized my issue is like naming the feeling that I'm having or like realizing what is going on. Like, so when I have a visceral reaction to something, like, all right, what do I feel? Where do I feel it? Am I like hyped up? Does my chest feel tight? Am I breathing fast? Like, that's like the first step. And then after that, it's like, okay, well, this is a moment where maybe taking a walk will help. Or, okay, well, this is a moment where coloring in my coloring book will help. Or this is a moment where, you know, lifting weights will help. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that great at it, but at least I'm like sort of figuring it out.
Mm. And it's feeling different every time.
Yeah,
you don't always like consult with one like solution.
Yeah, and that's like the benefit of the therapy is creating tools. Like, all right, so like my tools, I can read a book, I can write in a journal, I could take a walk, I can breathe, just work on breathing if I don't want to move, I can lift weights, I could color, I can paint. Mm-hmm. Right, so like I have my list of things, so once I have a feeling, it's like, well, okay, what the fuck am I feeling, that I do the things, and then maybe after that I'll be like, all right, why was I feeling that way, what was the reason, what bothered me. Mm-hmm. It's a whole process, always, forever.
That's super healthy, can I just say. And to go through those steps too, when you're gonna feel yourself implode or explode.
Yeah, it's not easy to like stop that in its tracks, but it takes practice just like anything else. The same way learning how to squat, it takes steps and techniques and you work your way up and it's progressive overload, like,
yeah,
the same concepts.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm getting to the age. I'm getting to the age where like I don't want to stress out anymore. Like I don't want to take on other people's problems, like in my own circle. You know, I'm talking best friend, I'm talking family members, like my own parents. Like I'm going to again do what I can in the moment, but remove myself and not let it like consume my life. Which was hard before.
Yeah.
You know, or like stressing out for them or like feeling all those feelings because I'm a very emotional person right now. Like I finished the freaking finale of Pose on Hulu and I'm just bawling with everybody. I'm a very emotional person.
Yeah.
So not taking on those emotions and yeah, like stepping away, and
it's hard.
That's real. Like I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, I should cook right now so that we can actually have a dinner.
Yeah.
Or like the dogs are essentially my savior because they have their own quiet needs. And after like rolling through 8 hours, 10 hours of like intense like work or whatever, they're like, let's go for a walk. Great. Mm-hmm. I need a walk too. Let's go out into the nature. Let's feed ourselves, you know?
No, that makes sense.
Because they're on actually a routine. Like it forces me to recognize like we need to like step away.
Yeah, that's good. Because at bare minimum, even if you don't do the steps, you still have to make sure, did I eat today? Did I drink water?
Mm-hmm. And because I know the dogs need to eat and drink water and all that stuff, like in turn, I'm doing that for myself.
Yeah. That's what people say about the plants and like the plant craze. Like it's not just a trend or a fad, because there's some people who like pets aren't really going to happen or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, pets are not for everybody, but plants could give you that same, like, all right, well, if I don't do anything today, at least I get up and water my plants.
That's so true.
Yeah.
But I'd rather, you know, like, I've got plants too, but it's so easy to forget them depending on, you know, I'd rather my plant die than my dog.
Well, yeah, I would hope so before Peter comes for you, but yeah. I would hope so.
Yeah, no, I feel that same thing because it's a living, breathing thing that needs sun and water.
So, but what do you do if it's a moment where like you were gonna go lift and you are feeling overwhelmed or whatever big feelings? You're feeling big feelings, but you're supposed to be training. What do you do in that moment?
It's a scheduled training and like feeling those big feelings or I'm like super overwhelmed, there are days where I just choose not to. Like it's hard to find that balance because there can be months, like probably even half a year, where I just don't train, and that was unlike me,
right,
for you know 7 years, and being okay with that because I'm replacing it with a walk, a longer walk, even if it's not 15, it's like 45 minutes. I try, like, I got to be okay with that.
Yeah.
But now I'm at the opposite end where it's like, okay, I need to get back to training. Like I just set up our garage gym yesterday.
Like you have the yearning.
Yeah. Because it has been months, you know, like that walk is not going to be enough to, burn off all the calories that I'm overeating, like, and I'm not gonna stop eating like the amount that I'm eating, and it has been a lot. I'm just gonna replace it with I think more heavy duty like training, you know. We'll see, who knows if that'll continue.
It ebbs and flows. I get you there, because there are times where I am just not able to get it done.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll just like do some body weight, some random shit on the floor, and then call it a day.
Yeah.
Where there are some times where I make the mistake, and I'm like, all right, well, maybe I'll just squat. And then it's just a mess. Like my body is a mess. And I'm like, all right, well, that wasn't a good idea. Maybe I won't do this anymore.
It's
an ebb and a flow. But then there are some days where I'm like, I don't feel motivated, but I just need to do something. And then it goes great.
And you're talking like three different scenarios. One where you just don't feel it at all.
Yeah.
So you choose not to do it. And then, or you choose to do something lighter and, you know, you're still moving. And then the other scenario is when you're in the middle of it, you get set up, you put on your weightlifting shoes, you've got the bar on your back, like, and you're doing everything that you can do in the moment. And then you stop. Those are the two different scenarios.
Yeah, that's such a different scenario. So maybe I am like feeling very scattered, very like off-centered, especially if it's a day where I have like a lot of unexpected things in a day or schedule change, or, you know, like my doctor's appointment got canceled and I'm arguing with this person, and also tomorrow everything's closed because it's a hurricane. I'm just kind of like,
yeah. By the way, there's a fucking hurricane.
Yeah.
Like,
and I'm just kind of spinning and lost. And that is a part of like my brain that I have to deal with now with this illness. I've always been a regimented person, right? But this just makes things bigger. So I might be like, well, all right, I'm gonna stick to the plan. I'm just gonna squat anyway. Here we go. But like, that's the energy. Like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna squat. Oh, and you know, you're scattered. You're not grounded. You're not really like present. You're not paying attention to your body. Like on the outside, you could pick up the weight, you could load the weight, but on the inside, you're just an amoeba hot mess of emotions. Yeah. You can't really connect. And so I might just do the squat and literally unload the thing and just walk out. Never mind.
yeah. And like, you know, there's still applause for that because it was on your calendar, it was on that schedule, and you thought that it was going to work, and you still tried it. Yeah. But I feel like, too, there's probably only one time out of 200 times that I've done that where it actually was successful, you know, where I actually had a good squat day, a good training session. And, like, the way that I saw it, too, was, like, I had accountability for showing up because I had a training partner and we had a schedule going like three or 4 days a week, you know? So it's like, I got to show up or else I'm constantly like failing my friend, or I'm constantly not being there for her, you know? But if I show up, I'm like, sorry, I'm just going to stretch today and get on the bike and, you know, this will be my day.
Yeah. Sometimes we just have seasons, right? Like, it is what it is.
And it's great to have people around you that understand that, you know.
Yeah. Not
take it personally or assume that everyone's in their own dumpster fire.
Yeah. Or think that they know what you need. Like, oh, don't be a pussy. You could do this. Let's just squat today. Let's just do the bench. Let's just, you'll feel better after slamming weights. Like,
yeah.
No thanks.
And I love being a pussy.
Yeah. They're amazing organs and structures. I aspire to have that level of strength and flexibility. For real. But also, I think even though you said there's over 200 times and only one time it worked out, is that now the next time you feel that way, you know your chances. Now you're like, all right, if I feel this way, I know what to do now.
Exactly.
You won't know until you figure it out. Nobody can tell you. Nobody can tell you, like, all right, this is the body feel. This is the mental thought. That means you shouldn't work out. Nobody could tell you.
And which is fine. Like, I'm learning to be okay with that because I do have X, Y, and Z other things that I need to do anyway. So it's like, if I'm not training, I'm still doing something productive, or a nap is a lot more productive to me nowadays than it was before, you know, like
rest and recovery is productive. Your body's getting it done.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. We have way less time in this world.
Yeah. I think a big part of it too, especially so like before I got sick, is very much just hustle culture vibes, whatever. This is the way life is, work, 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 right?
Yeah, you had like three jobs and side hustles.
But then once you get sick, then there's like the stress and the medical traumas and the, oh, am I dying? Am I not dying, right? Like the heightened level of stress. And then even if that goes away, that's what you get used to. So there's also some weird part of that where like you have to learn how to be okay with not being stressed and not creating stress. So like, there's also a part of that. So maybe you lived at home and everybody was stressing you the fuck out. It was kind of toxic, whatever. And you move away and it's peaceful, but you still find stress because you're doom scrolling on your phone, right? Mm-hmm. Or you still find stress because you overbook yourself. Or you still find stress because like your workout is way too fucking complicated. And not realizing that you did that to yourself, because you're like, I'm used to the whole hustle and bustle, like this is my life. Like, nah, slow the fuck down.
Yeah.
I had to learn how to slow down.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've come to that place where you are not overbooking yourself?
Yeah, I've come to the place. Yeah, to the place where you wake up and you don't think about, I mean, obviously you think about, these are things I have to do today, but you also think, these are the things I'm going to do for myself today. Mm-hmm. This is when I'm going to take a break today.
And I think that's what's helpful too for those people that, including myself, that tend to overschedule, and I used to, especially socially.
Yeah.
It's like that shit don't matter anymore. But you, it's like scheduling in those like self-care actions like might help for someone like that. Like I rely 200% on my Google Calendar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have little things where it's like, okay, you got to take out the trash today. That's just so I don't forget and the garbage man doesn't hate me. Mm-hmm. I schedule like random things in my personal life, you know, but actually scheduling self-care might be good.
Yeah,
for those moments, you
literally
know?
Literally said like, okay, well, this is when I'm gonna take a lunch break and I'm not gonna work. My lunch break means no devices or no laptop or, you know, separate from my desk. Like, it's just like that level of intention required is how you learn to slow down.
Yeah, I've been seeing this a lot more too. I've had people, because I work with a wine warehouse who manages all of our inventory, and they do all of our shipment and transportation like through California.
Right.
I have like a few reps that I work with and talk to every single day. They schedule their lunch breaks. I mean, not on like at the same time every single day, but mm-hmm. they have an out of office response every time they're out. And you can tell it's like a 30-minute chunk, 40. Okay, it's 60 minutes today. Mm-hmm. That's long. But we get that response back, and I always think of it like, huh, okay, whatever, she'll get back to me like later, but that's so necessary and it's not normalized, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. Do not bother me. Do not call my phone if I don't respond to the email, but I'm going to take it at a time where it's not urgent, you know?
Yeah. Because just, you know, taking the lunch break wasn't enough. People would be like, did you get the email I sent you and shit? Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. Like, there's still a phone number
right
on there for the rep. And same with me, like as a sales manager, they're going to like need things from me,
mm-hmm.
24 hours of the day. But I set that boundary from the minute I got hired. Like, I'm not going to respond on the weekends or after, to me, 6 p.m.
Yeah. Right.
But that lunch break, we forget to take and communicate like, dude,
mm-hmm.
I can't be at your service all the time.
Yeah. And stress is stress. Like, your body doesn't know the difference between going for a run versus stressing to eat your lunch while you're like typing some last minute shit, right? Like, mm-hmm. the heart rate increasing and your fucking breath going up is the same to your body. Your body doesn't say, well, this one's healthy and this one's not. Like, stress is stress. So sometimes you get to the end of the day and you're fucking exhausted and you're like, I didn't move all day. Yeah, so
yeah.
And it's even worse when you're disabled, because the energy of every day is already higher. Like,
yeah,
the demands are more expensive already. So you really might not physically do anything taxing, but you had to plan your day. I mean, for you, it's like doing whatever you need to do with your one hand, right? For me, it's like, all right, if this is hot, then I have to do this, or I have to get this done. My doctor's appointment is that, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah,
at the end of the day to day, just being disabled costs more energy. So if you don't give yourself those mental breaks, like, you're gonna crash and burn.
Yeah, and it's always just so much more for you that I'm constantly thinking about. It's like when the weather changes, when like everything around you changes, there's more pollen in the air, there's more what fucking was it, like aluminum or steel
fucking in nickel, dude.
Nickel in your house, you know, like, these are real things.
Yeah, these are real stupid stupid shit I gotta worry about.
And I'm not saying that me as a limb difference person, like, I'm not going through it. I'm just saying, like, I've had 30 years to adapt the mm-hmm. world with one hand. Like, okay, there are inconvenient things in life, and studies show that even, like, left-handed people live shorter lives. So do limb different people, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're, like, navigating the world.
Just takes effort.
In an able-bodied, like, whatever.
Yeah.
It takes a lot longer. But it's nice to also have a support system where it's like, can you open this jar? Yeah. I can't. I freaking can't. You know? But
no, it's a shorter adjustment period for me, for sure.
Yeah.
I went from totally fine to not totally fine. But even with people that just have, like, changing disabilities, I'm sure it's hard mm-hmm. because maybe they had something when they were 5, but now that they're 22, things have changed. Like, that adjustment is some bullshit for sure.
Oh yeah. And then not worrying about the judgment coming from the world about mm-hmm. you being a different person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that stress me out the most nowadays, even though, like, I'm a lot more confident with my body and my looks and my single-handedness,
right?
Out in the world, are children, because they're going to tell you like what they see with no filter, right?
Yeah, they're ready and, to rip.
And like, one day I can have this loving interaction with a 7-year-old, and the next day they're like, no, get away from me, like, get that little hand away, you know? And it's funny to me, but it's also like, oh, I have to remember and remind myself how I look to other people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to teach that kid, you know, how to love people who look like me, but it's still like, oh shit, that took me aback.
Damn.
This still happens.
Yeah.
That's true. But I know that they come from a place of love, just like misunderstanding, you know?
Yeah. No, that's so, yeah, real.
Ooh. That societal, like, yeah.
For me, it's not children. Navigation. It's elders.
Elders, the ones that say you're too young.
Yeah. Oh, you're too young to be sick. When are you having kids? Are you gonna have kids? Oh, yeah. How's your husband? Are you having children? That's it. And then, like, if for some reason I somehow decided to actually talk about my illness, nobody understands anything, and it's still a very, like, black and white, like, oh, but you're feeling better, oh, but, like, there's something you can do. Like, it's like a black and white thing.
Yeah,
like, no, this isn't like cancer, and wow, cancer sucks, but, you know, you have a process for it, and you outcome, you beat it or you don't. Like, no, there's nothing here. It just is. This could get worse, it could get better, I have no idea.
I think a lot of people, I'm starting to realize, still have an issue understanding the difference between chronic illness and terminal illness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There can be intertwined, because, you know, people can have both at the same time.
Right.
But people just don't know how to feel. Like, no. Oh, I'm going to be sad because you have like a time limit on your life, you know, versus you have to make sure you don't get to that point by taking care of your body.
Yeah. And their picture of chronic illness is a picture of the saddest part of terminal illness. Cause even terminal illness is obviously sad as fuck, and I'm sure it's hard. But I know people who are out there that are like, yeah, dude, like, I'm still a person today. Like, I might die in a couple months, but, like, I'm still going to live. Like, even that they don't understand. Like, they expect somebody to just be like sitting in a room and crying. So they expect that same thing for a chronic illness. Oh, but you're lifting weights. And there's always like a reason. There always has to be a reason why. Oh, are you sick because you lifted weights? I'm like, no, dude, it's just genetic. Oh, is it because of the exercise you did? Bitch, I have a degree. I know how to do this. It's genetic. I inherited these problems.
I'm laughing, but you know it's not funny.
No, it's terrible.
You have to explain yourself. You shouldn't have to explain yourself every time for feeling what you feel. And do you have to carry around physician's paperwork?
I need like a brochure handout. I'm gonna be honest. I don't have any real self-care or boundary or whatever. I just avoid it.
Yeah,
I mean the pandemic has made it easier because I'm not gonna go to their parties anyway, but like I just avoid it. I'm not calling anybody because I'm like anxious that they're gonna ask me these questions and I have to fucking go through it again. Like I just avoid it. I have no
and that's
I have nothing for that situation.
I was gonna ask you that too. I was like, do you avoid older people then? But or those specific people that have been triggering for you, you know?
Yeah, for the most part, I mean, nobody calls me anyway, but it's also a cultural thing where like I'm the younger person, I should be calling them.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's my culture anyway. So they would call me, number one, upset that I didn't call them. Mm-hmm. So there's like that level of fuck, I gotta deal with this. And then once they, oh, how are you? Okay, do I want to be honest or not honest? Because if I'm honest, then so I just avoid it.
Yeah.
I don't check in with anybody.
Those are the moments where I'm okay with like whoever invented small talk. Because it's like, oh yeah, there's a storm outside and might be sunny tomorrow, cloudy the next day. Like that's all. Just like keep it at a surface level with these people. And I'm fine with that. Like I don't need to have that bond with that aunt anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm going to respect her still because culturally we should. Like, I'm still going to be nice. But once you put me down or whatever or gaslight me, that's a whole nother ballgame.
Right. Yeah, that's different. I can understand where you're coming from and why you're acting the way that way, but I don't have to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I hate small talk. So that so far doesn't work out for me. I just avoid it completely.
End call or ignore call.
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad aunties don't call me since I'm the baby of all the cousins. Do not, please.
Yeah.
I can't handle it anyway. I'm still a baby.
Nobody called. Even with this fucking, even when hurricanes happen and whatever, like, people text me, hey, you good? Or they'll, or maybe an aunt or two will, hey, you good? But
that's it.
People don't come out the woodworks to call because I should be called. I am the younger person. I should be calling the elder.
Even when you're in the middle of a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get that.
Like, yeah.
Culturally, I understand, but it's a different time now, too.
So yeah, I'll avoid it. And if I'm like literally about to be ready to work out, or you know, I'm like, this is the moment I'm resting, or this is when I'm about to cook, and I see that call, I'm like, extra nope.
Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah. And it's funny because we talk about boundaries and mental health, you know, was like this niche, this super popular thing during the pandemic, and all of a sudden people have forgotten about it.
Yeah.
You know that I'm pretty sure you posted it too, but I've been seeing it where they're like, sorry, I didn't text you back today, but I didn't eat in case that makes you feel better. Like that is fucking real. Like that is a boundary that people also don't understand. Like you are not going to be my priority every single day, no matter how important you are to me. Like I will always be my priority.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like,
and that's so hard for people to not understand still, I think.
I agree. I think people know that you're on your phone, so you should be accessible. But, I mean, no.
Or, like, any break that you have, like, oh, you're free for 30 minutes. Why didn't you respond? Yeah. I saw you were on Instagram for 10 seconds. Why didn't you respond to my text or call me back? It's going to be a 24-hour long conversation. That's the thing about it.
I didn't have the bandwidth for it. That's it. Yeah. No explanation needed.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are dealing with their own, like the part of not taking it personal, right? Their own dumpster fire. A lot of people have to deal with their own insecurity. Like, why do you care that this person didn't answer you right away?
Yeah.
Like, why do you feel so abandoned or left behind? Like, why are you taking it personally? Like, the other person has to deal with that. It's not our job. Like, we could set the boundary. I might not always answer you. That's it. They have to deal with the rest, not us.
Yeah.
Like, why do you feel some type of way? It's a text. Is this an emergency?
Yeah.
Urgent situation. But there are people like that. I mean, most of the people that I talk to are pretty much on the same wavelength as me. Like, if we're not in the mood, we're not gonna text. We might rapid fire fucking text for like 20 minutes and it's like, moment's gone. Thank you. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Like,
yeah, moment's gone.
Like, it is what it is. But there are some people that I text that they're like, oh, well, I guess you're busy. All right, well, I'll leave you alone then.
Yeah.
What are you doing? If it was that serious, then you should have called me.
But then it also becomes the boy who cried wolf, where they make it seem like it's serious every single time. Mm-hmm. And then you start realizing none of that shit was. So once I start ignoring it, they're like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the thing about humans is that, you know, we change over time, but us changing is not the same as the people around us changing, and sometimes they can't deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they revert back to like pre-therapy days. I'm starting to realize, like, what happened to that toolbox? It's gone.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that did not end up being quick, but you know what? Whatever.
No, but it's and I don't want to like be repetitive on our self-care episodes, but this is an ongoing like thing for us, you know, reminding ourselves that we are our priority, reminding ourselves that like we got to eat, we got to take those breaks, and taking breaks from like weightlifting is a normal thing that disabled girls who lift do.
Shit happens. And, you know, you don't have to over explain. Oh, well, I couldn't lift because I have this and this is what, like, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Surround yourself with people that don't require an explanation. Because even if they think you're not showing up, like, at the end of the day, we're always showing up for ourselves. So that might not mean walking into the gym. That might mean taking a walk, walking your dog, drinking water, and making sure you eat good food. And somebody else might think you didn't show up, right? Like, you didn't commit. You're not consistent. But
But it's like, I did laundry today. I, like, you know, I cleaned my fucking house that was a mess for
3 weeks. Yeah, I had to plan my fucking budget. I had
to schedule
appointments. Like, you show at the end of the day, the only person that matters is you and how you showed up for you, not what anybody else thinks. So if you're surrounded by people that you feel you have to explain it to, maybe work on that.
Or cut it off.
Maybe. I mean, because it could be coming from yourself. It might not be them, but so I'm just gonna say work.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, no, people do that.
See what you did there.
Yeah.
No, it's 100% true.
This is hard out here. The world is already against us. We can't be against ourselves too.
Yeah. And it's all going to show up in different ways, right? Our anxiety is going to show up in different ways each day, or our happiness or our sadness or our self-care. Like, it's not going to be the same all the time.
No, we all have our seasons and things changed. And I see things even when I was competing and I was consistent. Even the seasons of that, like parts of the powerlifting that weren't healthy for me, that I was, you know, like feeding into unhealthy things, or the parts that were healthy for me, like, oh, well, this made sense and I was actually having fun and not hurting myself, you know. But to somebody else, they might think me now, like, I haven't deadlifted all year. I just started squatting again, like in the summer.
Right.
So to somebody, and to me, I feel like physically I'm doing the best I've done the whole time. So somebody might look at the way I'm lifting now and be like, damn, she fell off. And compare it to powerlifting when I was working out 4 days a week, 2 hour workouts, PRs, blah, blah, blah. Right.
Yeah.
But to me, like, that level of quote unquote consistency, like, I wasn't eating, I wasn't resting, I wasn't hydrated, I wasn't like nourished mentally. Like, I was not, it was not healthy. I was not doing the thing.
Yeah, and people didn't know or see that.
Exactly.
They don't see the grunt work of competition and powerlifting and strongman. they don't see you like passing out and blacking out in the middle of the day. Like,
yeah, they don't see the crash and the burn. But yeah. I was like, it was one of my memories popped up, so I really got in my feelings about it. Like, damn, like I was really just trying to pretend that nothing was wrong with me and that I could just keep push.
Yeah. And what year was your big sick?
Big sick was like, I mean, honestly speaking, it started in like 2015. And 2016, 2017 is when I was like doing nationals and like, all I want is 1,000-pound total. And like, and all of my focus was really on that. And at the time, every other doctor thought I was dying. So I was really just I was really ignoring it.
Yeah.
I was really clinging on to the idea that some doctor was going to figure it out, was going to get cured, and I'm going to get my 1,000-pound total. Just keep it moving.
Like, I told somebody about it, now it's their problem.
Now no, it's bitch, their it's problem. Your body. There's nothing that I need to change, nothing that I need to examine or modify. Keep going until my body was like, nah, bitch, we're not going.
Yeah,
that's like literally slap in the face, like, freeze frame. You're wondering how we got here. Like, those are the moments where literally my body was failing.
Yeah.
So somebody might think that was a consistent, I fell off. Like, no, man, I'm solid now.
That's great. Yeah. That's the kind of growth that we strive for here at Disabled Girls Who Live.
Yeah.
It does not matter how much we're totaling right now.
No.
How my body is feeling.
My body is still doing great things. And that does not happen to be deadlifting this year.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't touched my sandbags, I haven't touched my log, but you know, I'm learning how to Olympic lift. I have tons of like technique improvements. Like, I'm proud of this shit. Like, I'm still doing it
over the head too, which is like mind-blowing to me.
Yeah,
that's that, like, I fear for my life every time I did that.
No, me too, but I'm getting through it.
Yeah. No, we understand. We recognize now as like, I think, I don't want to say retired, as like veteran.
I would say as a casual power lifter.
But veteran, because it has been like a decade, you know, or more, that like consistency doesn't always mean like successful, you know?
Yeah, consistency doesn't mean force yourself to do what was on the paper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, consistency just means showing up for yourself.
Yeah,
that day, that hour, that moment, whatever it means. And if you don't know what it means, that's when it's time to figure that shit out.
Yep. And that are like showing up 100% is going to be a different level each day.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your 100% today?
Exactly.
Like, for y'all, like, what, how many spoons do you have when you
Yeah.
Such a great analogy.
And I think the resources too, I mean, I'm always talking about therapy, but it's not just therapy. Like, there are people that do peer support, like Kat Lopez. You know, you could pay Sliding Scale if you just need somebody to talk to figure some shit out, right? There are books out there. Like, I'm reading a book. I think it costs $13. Set Boundaries, Find Peace. I don't, you know, I could learn a lot just from being intentional with reading a book on my own. But I still have to do it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be, shit, I can't afford a therapist. There's nothing for me to do. Like, nah, dude, there's YouTube. There's the internet. There's lots of free. There's lots of low cost.
It is amazing how accessible a lot of this self-help stuff is, though.
Yeah.
And if you can't afford, you know, a $15 book, you can check some of those things out at a library. They have e-libraries now where you don't have to leave your house.
Exactly.
Just like download it from an app, get your own library card, and then rent it for a few weeks
or a month,
you know. But you brought up Kat Lopez. Like, y'all really need to listen to that episode when she was on with us. Was it? It was like 60.
Not that long ago. It's a small scroll back. You'll find it.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
But just her navigation on life and healing and trauma and boundaries was just, it's so eye-opening, you know?
Yeah. I agree.
And grief can come in all forms, we realize.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Oof. Got to go back to that one. This was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. This is your other resource, right? This is free. Unless you have money, give it to us. But you know, if you have money, it's not free for you. Okay. Pay us. But yeah, this is another resource, right? Finding podcasts of people that are talking about the shit you need to work through or shit you need to think about. Shit, yeah. This is free. So thanks for choosing us as a resource.
It's free and real, you know? We cut the bullshit at the door.
Correct.
Like, we're not all... And that's the thing, too, about our social media platforms. It's not all, like, disingenuous. I've got a 300-pound squat every single day that I train. I've got, like, yes, the best life. Like, nah. Like, we're showing you the nitty-gritty real struggles.
Real.
You more so, because you post a lot more than I do. And
yeah.
God, yeah.
Heard, felt, seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. All right, so there you go. Thanks for allowing us to be your free and or affordable, low-cost resource for your self-care. Listening to podcasts can be self-care.
60 minutes a month.
Mm-hmm. Donating to your local podcast service is also self-care. All right, I'm gonna stop that, but yeah, pay us if you have money. Thanks, that'd be great. Yeah, I think that's it. Is that all? Okay, yeah, Disabled Girls out.
Thanks for listening to Disabled Girls Who Left. We appreciate all of your support and everyone who's taken the time to show us some love. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, or write a review of our channel. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Google Podcasts, and more. You can also find us on Instagram, @DisabledGirlsWhoLift.